has joined. Has joined.
Good morning.
Forgotto.
We will begin. L'shem Yichud Kuchabarichu Ishkimte Vidhilu Urchimu Utkilu Utkilu Urchimu. Leakta l'shem yudhei bavavhei, v'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael, limud Torah mitzvah, asok Torah mitzvah.
Has joined.
Zohinu aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu k'nenei, aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu k'nenehu. Today we will be studying the fifth aliyah from Parashat Tzav. It begins with Leviticus chapter 8, verse 14, and completes at verse 21. This is a total of 8 verses. The number 8 is one above the 7. It's one above the natural world. It's a connection to the higher levels of Sephirot. Verse 14. Vayagash et par hachata'at vayismoch aharon uvanav et yedeihem al rosh par hachata'at vayishchat vayikach Moshe et Adam, Vayeten al Karno Hamizbeah, Sabi et Bao, Vayechate et Hamizbeah, Vayet Adam Yatsak El Yesod Hamizbeah. Vayikad shehu likaper alav, Vayikach et kol hachelev, Asher al hakerev, V'et yiteret hakaved, V'et shete haklayot, V'et hel benchen, Vayichter Moshe Hamizbeach V'et hapar V'et oro V'et besaro V'et pirsho Saraf ba'esh Michutz L'machane ka'asher Siwa Adonai Yo Hewahe Adanu Yo Yo Aheda Wanu Heyo Et Moshe Vayachrev Et El Haola Shanav et Yedehem al Rosh Ha'il. Vayishchat Vayizrok Moshe et Hadam al Hamizbeach Saviv. Ve'et Ha'il Nitach Lintachav. Vayachter Moshe et Harosh v'et Hanchanchin v'et Hapader v'et Hakerev v'et Hakrayim rachatz b'mayim vayachter Moshe et kol ha'il ha'mizbeach ha'mizbecha olahu l'reach nichoach ishe u'ladonai yohewahe adanu yo yohahe dawanu heyo ka'asher tziwa Adonai, Yohewahe Adanu Yo, Yohahe Dawanu Heyo, Et Moshe. That's the completion of the Hebrew reading. Now we will study the English translation, beginning with verse 14 of chapter 8. And he brought the sin offering bowl close, and Aaron and his sons leaned their hands upon the head of the sin offering bowl. And he slaughtered, and Moses took the blood and placed it on the horns of the altar around with his finger. And he purified the altar. And he poured the blood at the base of the altar and sanctified it to effect atonement upon it. And he took all the fat which was on the innards and the diaphragm with the liver and the two kidneys together with their fat. And Moses caused to smoke on the altar. And the bull, its hide, its flesh, and its waist, he burned with fire outside the camp, as Hashem had commanded Moses. Why do you need to have the word he and the word Moses? Was it Aaron who did this work? Or was it Moses? Was this done as part of the first day's actions of sanctifying the Kohanim, Aaron and his children? Moses, was this the last time that Moses acted as the high priest? Was it done the last day of Adar? These questions are being asked. I don't have the answers as of yet, because I'm not a Kohen. And he brought near the burnt offering ram, and Aaron and his sons leaned their hands upon the head of the ram. And he slaughtered, and Moses dashed the blood on the altar around. So it's clear that Moses is doing this work. Today is the 12th day, and we'll make our connection in, at the normal time at 8 a.m. West Coast time. But the question is, in all of those 12 days, and you haven't done the 12th day, and trust me when I say it's not Levi. Was Levi one of the 12
has joined
tribes that brought offerings? The answer is no. The Levites do not bring offerings on these 12 days. They participate because they sing while the slaughtering takes place, the shechting takes place. I shouldn't use the word slaughtering, it's shechting, because it's a ritual form of slaughter. The Kohen and the Levites, which the Kohen are Levites, did not bring their offering. This process that we are reading is elevating the Kohanim above the physical world, so they could no longer manifest in the physical world and bring the offering for themselves. That's what this is describing. That's what the number 8 is connecting to, the 8 verses. And he cut up the ram into its pieces, in verse 20. And Moses made the head, the pieces, and the fat smoke. But the innards and the legs he washed in water. And Moses made the entire ram smoke on the altar. It was a burnt offering, a pleasing fragrance, a fire offering to Hashem, as Hashem had commanded Moses. That's the end of the English translation. Does anyone have any questions? Continuing our study of the Be'ur, Esther Sefirot. Section 2. One should ask, what should compel me to believe in the Ein Sof? Paragraph 2 of section 2. Tashuva daki kohanareya behanata pas behar hor halev. Mogaval recall Mogaval Yesh lo so recall Shai Lo so Inushav In Kain Mashe Enu
has joined
Karo Ein Sofi Behu. Shavav Gemora Beachtot Ashalima Shein Ba Shinavi Im Hu Mi Bali Gevul Ein Chutz Mi Menu Ufi Shehu Baeta Ala Umatalam Uikar Call Me Star Vegalo Belo Fi Shehu Naalam Usherosh Veha Amuna Vehu Sharash Hameri Veal Zena Aymar Vetsadik Veamunato Haihie Vehachme Hamachakar Modaim Shagitano ki im al derech lo hadvarim ana atzliam mein sof hem yud sefirot. The answer: know that all that you see and all that is perceived in the thoughts of the mind is limited. And everything that is limited has an end. And everything that has an end is unworthy. If so, then what is limitless is called infinite. And this means that it is completely unified, perfected, and changeless. And if the infinite has no limit, then there's nothing outside of it. And therefore Hashem is elevated and elevates them. This is the essence of everything that is hidden and revealed. And what is hidden is both the root of faith and the root of rebellion. And about this it is said, the righteous shall live by his faith. And the sages of study agree with the words of the one who says, that none surpass us, because none are on this path. And the things which are emanated from the infinite, these are the 10 sephirot. Go back to the first words. Know that everything is limited, and everything that is limited has an end, and everything that has an end is unworthy. Then what is limitless? What is limited is what is called Ein Sof. Ein Sof, Ein means nothingness. Sof means end. No end. That's the translation, the essence of Ein Sof. Now consider this image I'm going to describe to you. There is the Ein Sof that has no end. It's infinite. It's limitless. Because it has no end, it means there's no limits. We then come down to this world of Tikkun, our current physical world, where we are doing actions of correction, of Tikkun. And then we will return to the endless world, to the Ein Sof. But there was no change between being in the endless world before Tikkun and being in the endless world after Tikkun. There is no change. Every aspect of the vessel comes down to this world to be corrected. That means every atom, A-T-O-M. That means everything that's created is in this universe, in this world. It came down step by step, world by world. And then it returns world by world. But the two essence, the two words, the two descriptions, and so means there's no change. So what is the purpose of the Tikkun? We are taught it's to remove bread of shame. But if I remove bread of shame, there's a difference between the first Ein Sof that I described and the third world, the second Ein Sof that I described. But there is no change. But I've removed bread of shame. Bread of shame is an illusion. So it didn't change because the illusion was never really there. Why? Because it's a feeling. I feel I don't merit what I receive. This is bread of shame. It's an illusion. Why am I still feeling it? I'm correcting it. But it's an illusion. Why do I have to correct an illusion? Why is this world of pain and suffering? Why is this world of Torah study an illusion? The questions that I'm asking is the highest level that a human being, while in a physical body, can ask about the Creator. We are not able to understand this paradox that I'm changed and I'm not changed. The Aramaic words mati velo mati. It's there and it's not there. That's the literal translation. There are 10 sephirot. They're there and they're not there. There's the Ein Sof before Tikkun and the Ein Sof after Tikkun. They're there and they're not there. It's a paradox. What is a paradox? Being there and not being there simultaneously. That's the paradox. What's the truth? Is Mati the truth or not Lo Mati the truth? Does this feel like it's a waste of your time? Does this feel like you don't have to answer this question? Then it's okay. You don't have to answer the question. That's what free will is all about. Know that there are things that cannot be understood while you're in a physical body. If that bothers you, look to yourself as to why it bothers you. If it doesn't bother you, look to yourself as to why it doesn't bother you. But no, this is the highest level that a human soul can achieve while in a body, by being limited by the veil we call body. Does anyone have any questions? The third section, the first paragraph. Weim Yosef Ashoel Wish Lishoel Beezi Hakarak Atakarikak Kiyesh Shem Sefirot Kiritzoni Lo Mar Kiyen Shem Rak En Sof Levad. And if one goes on to ask, why should I be compelled to think that the Sephirot are there, as I would prefer to say that there's nothing there except the Infinite One alone. We will have our morning ritual for the 12th day in a half hour at 8 a.m. West Coast time. There are three more classes today. Our 11 o'clock class is that of the Sefer Yetzirah. Our 4:30 class is a deep Zohar class. Our 7 p.m. class will be part of day 13. If you go back to the links to the list of the first days of Nisan, you'll find day 13, you'll find a night of 13, and a day of 13. We will be doing the night of 13 at that 7 o'clock class. But we also will be doing a Zohar class. It'll be a longer night than usual. But by the time of that class, I'm hoping that you will have completed your search for the Chametz. But if not, you'll at least know what is the proper ritual and what is the proper thing to say. And the most important thing is what we just discussed. Because you're going to make a statement that says there is no chametz. That chametz is an illusion. That my consciousness will be unable to see chametz. Now this year, being the Seder is Motzi Shabbat, we have this conflict that says, the Halakha says I have to have Chametz on Shabbat. I have to eat Challah on Shabbat. Not necessarily Challah, but Chametz. So how do I make the illusion that there is no Chametz? How do I make my consciousness eat chametz on Shabbat and not be with chametz on Shabbat? We will discuss this more tonight. And I promise you, you will not find an answer, because it's a paradox.
Do we eat challah Friday night?
Most people, it's recommended to eat egg matzah. Because if you eat challah, there are crumbs that fall. And you've already declared them illusionary. between Friday morning and Thursday night. So your answer is each person will follow their own dictates. The people who eat egg matzah are eating matzah that is not kosher for the seders. You can eat egg matzah during the week, but not on the seder nights. So having egg matzah on Shabbat, you're eating chametz, because egg matzah on those 2 days is chametz. And all of a sudden, on the third day, it becomes no longer chametz, because you declared it what you declared it. As I said, you won't find an answer, but you have an answer. And if I'm being confusing to you, it's part of the growth. It's part of the consciousness change.
Does all crumbs have to be removed tonight?
That's correct, because you can't remove it on Shabbat. You can't burn it on Shabbat. Normally, the 14th day in the morning is when you burn the chametz, but you can't do that on Shabbat.
I mean the evening of Shabbat.
The Seder is the evening of Shabbat. Friday night is the evening of Shabbat. The Seder is Saturday night. Friday night is a meal. The command is to have chametz in the three meals of Shabbat. But how do you do that when you can't have chametz? It's already out of your house.
Oh, that means I have to get it out tonight. I thought it was tomorrow.
You can't search for chametz tomorrow, because then you can't burn it.
Can't burn it tomorrow morning?
We burn it tomorrow morning. We burn it Friday morning this year, because the Seder is Erev Shabbat.
Oh.
Motzei Shabbat.
Oh, my. But I had this tiny challah that I thought that would be the last thing after tomorrow night. Huh. And plan on egg matzah. I don't have any egg matzah. I don't have egg matzah.
I understand.
So, what do I do?
Well, you run out and buy egg matzah today, and then you have it.
But you can't have it Saturday, so I have to throw it away.
No, you have egg matzah on Saturday, and then you put the box away for Tuesday, for the rest of the week of Pesach. The only time you can't eat egg matzah is Saturday night and Sunday night.
But you can't eat it the rest of the week.
You can eat it. It's kosher for Pesach the rest of the week.
Okay. Well, all right. Thank you.
Go ahead, Bernice. You still have a question?
Yeah. It's a puzzle. Now I think everybody's thinking in a different direction, because I think those people were thinking of challah on Friday night and then cleaning up after Friday night, putting it away, and And then Saturday doing matzah, but in this case it's, I don't know. I'm sure that that's,
Bernice, you are going to be eating matzah on Saturday. It's only egg matzah.
Yeah, but that's a confusion because not everybody was planning on having matzah Friday night, egg matzah Friday night.
And that's why you've been given this information today. Not everybody knew what to do. Not everybody cares. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to do the best that you can.
Yeah, okay. All righty.
Does anybody else have any questions or comments?
Did you, did you make the comment before that we could use pita bread if we couldn't find the egg matzah?
I did say you can use pita bread because there are people who do use pita bread. The reason they use pita bread is because pita bread does not create crumbs. It's chametz, it has yeast, but it's not as significant. And so some people use that as their method rather than egg matzah.
Okay, thank you.
So the pita bread would be acceptable if you cannot find egg matzah.
Correct.
Okay, thank you for that.
And understand what we're going to be saying tonight and tomorrow at the burning is that we're declaring any chametz that we see as non-existent. So pita bread, if it's the wrong kind of pita bread, it tends to have some crumbs, not as much as a cracker, not as much as a challah, but it has some crumbs, and you're going to clean them up as much as possible. But you don't see them as you clean them because they're not there. You've declared them hefker. You've declared them nothing. And this is part of people who have difficulty understanding that you can declare something hefker, meaning unknown, no longer valid. And so you see it, but you don't see it. And this is crazy making to some people who find themselves living in the physical world. Judaism is teaching you consciousness. You declare Chametz Hefker tonight and again tomorrow morning. So it's not there. So there's crumbs on your table on the third meal of Shabbat. It's not there. You've declared it hefker. Oh, yeah, you're going to clean it up because that's what you want to do. Because you don't want your guests coming over and sitting at that table and seeing the crumbs, and they won't understand. So you'll clean it up. But it's not there. You're not cleaning anything that's there. And does that sound like it's crazy making? What is consciousness?
Seeing something that's not there.
Exactly, seeing something that's not there. What is crazy making? Bread of shame. Thinking you haven't earned it. You have what you receive. It's a feeling. It's not there. This is the lesson of Pesach when it falls Motzei Shabbat. Shalom.
Shalom. Thank you.
Shalom.
Shalom.
I'm getting old.
In a few more minutes, we'll even get more confused. Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom.